Reading from the first letter of St. John. I'm writing to you, children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God remains in you, and you have conquered the evil one. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yet the world and its enticement are passing away, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. Verbum Domini. Of the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice. He will govern the peoples with his truth. Let the
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who are awaiting the redemption of Israel. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
Verbum Domini.
The prophetess Anna's entire life was a very long advent, long waiting for the coming of the promised Messiah. Anna's patience bore fruit, and her whole life was a vigil, prayerful waiting. Her life bears witness to what happens to those who wait for the Lord to move. Toward the end of her life, the Lord drew near, and she saw his face. In a way, she practiced the presence of God in the temple for years before she beheld the face of God in Jesus, God the Son. Anna bears witness to the indispensable role of the elderly in the life of the church, the world and everyday family life. And in a way, Anna represents every elderly person who prays, who waits, who yearns for the Lord, who yearns for their family to come back to the church, to come back to the practice of the faith. And how many of you who are watching EWTN pray for your loved ones, children, grandchildren, to return to the practice of the faith? And Anna's witness is that your prayers are never in vain. Prayer is never in vain. Prayer is a changing of our own minds, our own hearts. Conformity to God. Perhaps as elderly persons, you feel unseen, unloved, unappreciated, even by those who are your family, those who are the closest to you in flesh, in blood. Anna can be a patron for the unseen, the forgotten, the abandoned even. God did not forget her. God did not forget her and stop thinking about her. And he doesn't stop thinking about you. Not for one moment. Not for one second. We are in God's hands. That's something that Pope Leo said right when he came out on the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica. on the Loggia as the new Pope. We are all in God's hands. Each one of us, we're sustained by God. He sees us, he knows us, and he loves us. Anna continued to pray and fast when nothing else appeared to change. And maybe you have felt like that. Maybe you don't see the fruit of your prayers. You pray and fast, but nothing appears to change by your eyes, your bodily eyes. Here are the facts about Anna in the scriptures that testify. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. Anna, you might say, was not waiting in the temple to be noticed. She was waiting for God, constant waiting for God, constant, long, prolonged Advent. And it appears to be an encounter that was set up from all eternity by God. God knew that Anna would be waiting, longing. And God knew Anna's fidelity. We pray this mystery in the fourth mystery, joyful mystery of the Rosary, the presentation of the Lord in the temple. How often have you thought about Anna in that particular scene? And maybe wondered if your life looked like Anna's, waiting, longing. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to have the same hope that Anna had, hoping that she would see the consolation of Israel, hoping that she would see God's face, deliverance of Israel. And no doubt if you are here at daily Mass, no doubt if you are watching the broadcast at home of the daily Mass, you have a desire to pray. And I would say a desire to pray better, not just pray stagnantly and not grow in your prayer, but if you're here at daily Mass, if you're watching, you want to grow in your relationship with God. You want to pray better. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has beautiful teaching on prayer, and it asks, what is prayer? And it gives a short answer from St. Therese of the Child Jesus. She says, for me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It is a simple look toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and love, embracing both trial and joy. A simple surge of the heart, prayer. Simple look toward heaven. Cry of recognition, a cry of love, embracing both trial and joy. St. John Damascene says, prayer is a raising of one's mind and heart to God, or the requesting of good things from God. The Catechism says, but when we pray, do we speak from the height of our pride or will, or out of the depths of a humble and contrite heart? St. Teresa of Avila says that whenever we pray, first we ask God contrition for our sins. We acknowledge that we are sinners before God. We humbly bow down before God and we acknowledge our fault, even before we begin to open our mouths, begin to look up at God. We acknowledge that we are sinners. And we do this at Mass, the very beginning of Mass. We acknowledge that we are sinners. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. And then we come before the Trinity. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And we ask God to have mercy upon us. The Catechism says, he who humbles himself will be exalted. Humility is the foundation of prayer. Only when we humbly acknowledge that we do not know how to pray as we ought, St. Paul says, are we ready to receive freely the gift of prayer. And St. Augustine says that man is a beggar before God, begging for mercy. Father Luigi Giussani would say that God is the ultimate beggar. He is the one who begs for our salvation. He begs for us. God comes down, he stoops down to our level as a child and begs for us, and begs for our hand as a child. Father Angelus would often preach from this pulpit, do you want to know how to humble yourself right now? How you can be humble before God and know how humble you are? I think that's a good question. How humble are we? Might be a good question to ask, like Anna. How humble are we this day? And he would always say, by our spirit of obedience, our willingness to obey God. And he said, that's the key. One prayer of a humble person is heard more readily than 10,000 prayers of a person who is not humble. One prayer of a humble person is heard by God more than 10,000 prayers. A humble person. We want to model ourselves after humble people. Most of all, the Blessed Virgin Mary before God, humbly acknowledging that she is a handmaid of the Lord. And Father Angelus would also say, only the humble are grateful, only the grateful are happy, therefore only the humble are happy. And the Catechism further says, the wonder of prayer is revealed beside the well before and where we seek the water. And there Christ comes to meet every human being, there at the well. The woman at the well, Christ comes to meet her where she is at. And he says to her, give me a drink. And it is he who first seeks us and asks for a drink. Jesus thirsts. And his asking arises from the depths of his desire for us. God's thirst for us. Mother Teresa used to have on the right-hand side of the Lord on the cross, she would always paint, I thirst. Every convent across the world, as the sisters would pray, they would meditate upon the cross and how Jesus thirsts for our souls. Even more than we thirst for him, even more than we thirst for God in prayer, God thirsts for us. And their whole life was meant to be a satiating of the thirst of Jesus. That first they would come before the Blessed Sacrament, even before they would go out and minister to the poor on the streets of Calcutta, they would come before the Eucharist every day and ask the Lord for grace and humble themselves and ask for the grace to go out and do what they are called to do on the streets and pick up the poor. Because they recognize that before they go out and care for the poor, they needed to satiate the thirst of Jesus himself in the Blessed Sacrament. The Catechism says, whether we realize it or not, prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. It's like that encounter that God thirsts for us. That's where God meets us in our prayer, in our thirst for God. You might say that God thirsts for us even more than we thirst for him. God thirsts that we might thirst for him even. He says from the cross, I thirst, and those words might echo throughout all eternity. I thirst. I thirst for your love. And when we pray, we don't change God. We condition ourselves to receive his grace, to receive his favor, to receive his blessing. And come, Holy Spirit, come. Come teach us to pray. Come teach us to await with confident hope like the prophetess Anna in the temple. Strengthen our confidence in you alone. And when our trust fails, remind us again and again to turn to you. Come, Holy Spirit, come.